A few years ago, a couple was shopping at the mall on Christmas Eve. The mall was packed. As the wife walked through the mall, she realized her husband was nowhere around. She was quite upset because they had a lot to do. Worried, she called him on her cell phone to ask where he was. Calmly, the husband said, "Honey, remember the jewelry store we went to 5 years ago where you fell in love with a diamond necklace that we couldn't afford and I told you that I would get it for you one day?" The wife choked up and said, "Yes, I remember that jewelry store." He said, "Well, I'm in the bar right next to it." Now we could think charitably, assuming the husband went to the bar depressed that he still couldn't afford to buy his wife the coveted necklace. We could feel sorry for him and her. But we know that more likely he has gone into the bar because he can't stand any more shopping. And more to the point, he's an obtuse oaf to whom this woman is just unlucky to be married to. Yet from another perspective, the husband nearly perfectly illustrates King Herod and his ministers and courtiers. Indeed, just about everybody who was anybody in Jerusalem at the time. Because their promised Messiah had just been born, and nobody noticed. Can you imagine? The Savior of all the world has just been born in one's own backyard, heralded by a heavenly light show such as never been seen since the creation of the world, and won't again until the second coming of the same Messiah in just a few more years. Living in a totally false reality, the high and mighty, the rich and powerful of Jerusalem and Judea, hobnobbing with the ruling Romans, didn't live in a world where the Messiah would ever really come. Indeed, many of them, the Sadducees in particular, no longer believed that God raised people from the dead, much like so many in our own day, yet again. While the husband totally missed how the way he described his location would affect his wife, at least the consequence of that was probably no more than a night or two on the sofa. For the Jewish aristocracy, the consequences were tragic and earth-shaking beyond imagining. Indeed, their entire country and nation would not too many years hence be totally destroyed. So if the so-called experts, elites, educated, rich and famous celebrities of that day were so out of touch, so blind they couldn't see the nose on their face in a mirror where it concerned something as monumental as the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah, then who did notice? Obviously, Jewish society's bigwigs were not waiting expectantly for the Messiah to come, except for our precious few like Simeon and Anna and John the Baptist and his followers. All of them were just little people. So to whom did Father God send the birth announcements to? To the deplorables. It seems like in God's eyes, the little people are big people. The little people are, in many ways, far more important than the so-called important people. Why else did the angel armies appear before a group of shepherds abiding in the fields surrounding Bethlehem? The shepherds were amongst the lowest class of people in Jewish society. They were so low, so undesirable, that those people often had to spend their nights in the out-of-doors. Dirty, smelly, unwashed, unclean lowlifes that proper people avoided were the ones to whom the Lord God first announced the glorious birth of the Son of Man, Jesus. What higher honor could be bestowed on folks of low estate? What a privilege! God loves all people, even the lowest of the low. But were these the only people that Father God personally revealed the greatest news of exceeding joy that the forever Savior King of the Jews had been born? We know they weren't. For Matthew records an important incident that occurred probably just days after Christ Jesus' birth. The three kings, or magi, arrived in Jerusalem seeking to worship the newborn king of the Jews. Veering off course from the guiding stars leading because they were so sure that such a king would be born in the capital city with great pomp, which would normally be the case, they approached the currently ruling king's palace. We can't blame them, for if it had been us, wouldn't we have done the same? After all, since they knew God, they were living in the truth revealed by him. But after the long journey of around 1,000 miles, perhaps more, they were probably a little anxious in getting ahead of the stars leading a bit by just assuming the newborn king would be in the capital city, Jerusalem. Well, it quickly became apparent that King Herod and all the others hadn't a clue that Christ had even been born, let alone where he was. In retrospect, that fact shouldn't have been surprising. What was surprising was the fact that these magi kings had come from such a faraway place to worship Christ Jesus. More surprising is that they weren't Jews. Why should they care if some Jewish king is newly born? Well, we know they somehow knew how this little babe would forever change the world and one day become the savior not only of the Jews, but of the entire world. All the Gentiles too. They were truly wise. They were steeped in the Holy Bible, the very words of God. Likely descendants of Babylonian and Persian wise men whom the prophet Daniel had worked with centuries before, these important personages had kept God's Holy Bible and studied it. They knew from the prophet Isaiah's writings that the promised coming Messiah would be for all the world. And they were so moved by Holy Spirit, they actually went. They're often called kings, and they may well have been rulers of small kingdoms in eastern lands. And if so, they certainly wouldn't have come by themselves. Judging by the fact that they brought fabulously expensive gifts for the Christ child, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they were men of means. There may have only been three of them, but each would have had an entourage of servants in attendance attending them. We only think there were three because three different gifts are mentioned. However, there could have been more. The Bible doesn't specify. Because the crucial fact, point, is the astonishing fact that they were Gentiles. God had revealed to them that God in Christ would come to save all lives, for truly all lives matter. Indeed, all lives are equal, equally important, equally loved. The rich and powerful are not more or less important than a shepherd, but actual leaders of one or more Gentile nations came and worshiped God in Christ. From the very beginning, Christ came to save both Jews and Gentiles. Indeed, Apostle Paul calls this a mystery that had begun before time began in Ephesians 3:9, saying, I was chosen to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Those Gentile kings, leaders, were not lords over the Jews like the Romans were. In fact, these kings sought an audience with the temporal rulers of the Jews themselves, thus showing proper homage and respect to the Jews themselves. This fact was obviously lost on Herod and his court because they were so paranoid over the fact that some other supposed claimant to the throne had arisen, that their new prime directive was to eliminate this threat, even if it meant killing the promised Messiah that God had sent. For as the elite of that day and our own day agree, who cares what God thinks? He doesn't exist anyway. Or so they delude themselves in their darkness and blinded eyes. And the three kings, wise men, were wise as if descendants of King Solomon, because they came to worship and submit themselves to whom they knew would be the King of all kings and Lord of all lords. And in that way, they represented all of Gentile humanity the world over. They, we, welcomed Lord Jesus at his coming. The wise men knew Isaiah's prophecies, and among them the words Dixie read earlier. Verse 6 is a multi-layered prophecy which in one sense speaks even of themselves. The people of Sheba will bring gold and frankincense and will come worshiping the Lord. Verse 3 prophesies to Jerusalem, all nations will come to your light. Mighty kings will come to see your radiance. In our day, has not the status of Jerusalem been the stumbling block that has prevented peace in the Middle East since 1967? Yet not until President Trump recognized all of Jerusalem, the capital of and belonging to Israel, and moved our embassy there, has any nation begun to fulfill this prophecy in Isaiah. And now, while several nations recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital, two more nations have actually moved their embassies as well. Our president recognized that Jerusalem is a blessing, a light to the nations, and those who bless Israel will themselves be blessed. For the Lord Jesus, the very light of God, came unto Jerusalem 2,000 years ago and will soon come to earth again, this time to pick us up, giving us a glorious ride to end all rides straight up to heaven. And this will be a motley crew, diverse beyond imagining, for all nations, kindreds, tongues, and ethnic groups will be represented, because he was born for all lives. Thank him. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so great and mighty and yet so low that you became one of the lowest, took upon yourself all of our sin that we might be raised up into your glory. Thank you, Lord. May your light shine through us to all this world and its darkness. In your name we pray. Amen.